preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness from all across the globe. This is Animal Radio Network.
Ooh, you lucky devil. Time for your weekly Animal Radio fix.
Hey, I have a fix over here that I'm trying to fix.
You got Bugarelli on your lap over there.
I got Bugle Studio Cat, and for those, no one can see me, but whenever I put my headphones on, I have ears, and he thinks that's a signal for him to come up here, and I'm to sit here and brush him the whole time I'm doing the show.
What, it isn't?
Yeah.
This week, LA Times columnist Al Martinez joining us. Always a fun guy. Always pick C. We'll get you qualified for the summer giveaway. The package is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We'll tell you all about it. Also, Lucky the cat.
Lucky was really lucky.
Got hit by a car and is saved by an animal radio angel, Barrett Clifton, and new pet laws. Tammy Grimes, you remember her? She chained herself to a tree. We'll check in and see how she's doing. She's trying to, along with 15 other contestants, trying to stay out there as long as they can. The one that stays out the longest, I believe, picks up a Chevrolet.
Yeah.
Hi, Jeff.
Oh, hi there, Hal.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Well, there's two things that really trip my trigger. Of course, as you know, I love pets, thus the hosting Animal Radio.
Makes sense.
It does make sense. And I also love gadgets. And you know that from the summer giveaways, because I'm always looking at all the gadgets in the summer giveaways. You put those two things together, and you got a mix that I just love. PetGadgets.com. Jeff Mott, you're the founder of that website. And that's exactly what it is. Tell the listeners if it's anything more than what I've said.
It's basically along those lines, and there's gadgets that you're just not going to find normally at most places, so that's kind of how I started the site. I was looking for myself for just something different, you know, just not the same old stuff. I kind of felt I was bored with it, and I kind of sensed my pets were bored with the same old stuff, so I couldn't believe it after an exhaustive search.
What were you looking for?
I was just kind of looking for maybe more electronics, high-tech items, just kind of things like that, just to have more fun, and you know, I just kept searching, and occasionally I'd find a few things fragmented, but I realized there had to be one site for it. So before you know it, I came up with the idea, acquired the name, and here we are.
And if you want to follow along at home, we're at petgadgets.com, petgadgets with an S.com, and you've actually picked some items out today.
Yes, actually. I would like to kind of discuss just that by October, we're going to have a lot of new products that are coming out that everyone's been waiting for.
Okay.
And one of them is the Quick Finder, which detects the nail's blood vessel. So if you've ever tried to cut your dog's nail, I know, and you know, you can sense the dog is sensing anxiety, and then you're kind of having trouble too. But now with this new device, you'll be able to see it. Think of it as a stud finder, you know, for pets. So it's great.
Now, will this work on black nails?
Yes, that's the great thing about this, and it's going to retail for right around $25, and I think that's a great price to have peace of mind, know you're going to do it safe, and kind of keep up with it, which is always a good thing, right?
I love that.
What about cats? Can you,
You can use that for cats just as well, believe it or not, as long as you have a cat that's going to be nice to you.
But you know, all cats have white nails, though.
Yeah.
So
that's
you can
not true.
Yes, it
that's
is.
Not true.
Yes, it is.
I
you
will
can
show
see
you
the
a
quick.
Cat that doesn't have a
you
white nail.
You can see the quick on
I
cats.
I think there's even one in this studio that doesn't have white nails.
But I'm telling you, my wife breaks out in a sweat when she goes to cut their nails, even though she's really careful with it. So she's anxiously awaiting this, as well as many other people that keep emailing me and say, hey, when is this available?
Well, that's a great device because, of course, here at Animal Radio, we advocate that you do not declaw. Do not declaw. One of the most obvious ways to get around the problem, besides cement furniture, is to cut the nails.
Exactly.
And you can do that quick being, and for those of you that are new to it, a quick is actually the mark.
The blood line.
The blood line on a nail where you're supposed to cut just below that. Not as in quick, like cut them quick. Although I'm sure this will help you cut them quick.
And it's really simple. The red light means don't cut. Green says go ahead. So it's not any simpler than that.
I love that. And, of course, you'll find that coming out, in October?
Yeah, right around October time frame for about $25. Right?
PetGadgets.com. Okay, what else do we have?
Yeah, now for cats, we have something called the Cat Genie. This is just another incredible item. Basically, everyone nowadays has to get cat litter. And with this device, it's almost like a toilet for cats, and it looks like a toilet, but it's permanent granules. So what happens is the waste actually liquefies right right through it. You never have to buy cat litter again, and it sanitizes and it cleans the whole thing, and you can hook it up through a dishwasher drain or even to your toilet. But it's going to retail for about $300, but this is getting so much demand already, and people can't wait to have this.
That's what you have to have a water line for that.
Yeah, you have to have a water line, or you can just hook it up to your toilet as well. There's a way to do it that way.
And that was featured at the at our big Global Pet Expo new pet product show. And if you want to hear that show, you can log online to animalradio.com. Meanwhile, it's petgadgets.com. What else do we have?
Yeah, this next thing, and once again, it seems like there's a theme. Everyone has this ramping up for around the fall, October time. There's a product that's a climate-controlled pet carrier, and it's state-of-the-art. It looks absolutely gorgeous. And then you can kind of control whether you need cold or heat, and it's perfect. It's just a beautiful workmanship. I love it.
That's coming out in October.
Yeah, October time frame.
I believe that was also featured in the Global Pet Expo show. Okay, that's what we... So far we have the Quick Finder, the Cat Genie, the Climate Controlled Pet Carrier. A couple of more?
Yes. Now this one I think a lot of people are going to like. Everyone likes to play with your little squeaky toys, but you know, after a while they kind of can drive you a little bit crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But not with this Sonics. It's a Sonic squeaky toy, but it's silent. You won't even hear it. An ultrasonic squeaker that only your dog can hear.
Wow.
I like that. That's a good idea. Now, does it annoy them or do they like it?
No, they like it. They seem to kind of look around. They kind of have that quick look. Now, where did I hear that? And it's kind of neat because, you know, it emits that and you're not going to hear it. It's just above the range of human hearing. They really enjoy it, and it's kind of fun to play with.
How neat.
Very good. PetGadgets.com is where you're going to find that. Is that that's available now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You can get that. And there's different ones, so you can have fun if you want to collect a whole line. There's like probably about 7 of them to have fun with.
We're talking with Jeff Mott, who's put together and founded PetGadgets.com, which, of course, is my ultimate dream, molding pet and gadgets together. One more item.
Sure. Well, now this is for exercise for your dog, and also you can kind of be lazy if you're sitting around out in your back and your dog just loves to chase a tennis ball. You have a product called Go Dog Go, and it shoots a tennis ball about 15 to 30 feet, and you have a remote control, so you can sit in your lounge chair, maybe even have a cold beer, and it will just shoot it out every 7 to 15 seconds. You control it, and your dog's just happy as a lark, and you're having a great time sitting back watching.
There you go, the top 5 at Pet Gadgets. Go Dog Go with the remote control, the Sonic Squeaky, the Climate Control Pet Carrier, the Cat Genie, the toilet that, you might have to install it in your bathroom, and then you'll be waiting to use the bathroom along with everybody else. Yeah. And, of course, I think this has got to be the number one pick, Quick Finder.
Yes.
Aiding in cutting your pet's nails, which, of course, for cats is could be a very, very serious thing. And if you don't own a pair of gauntlets, this would probably be the best next thing. Or the next best thing. Jeff, we appreciate you spending time with us today.
And Thanks so much.
We should do it again, I think.
Well, yeah, as I see some crazy things and neat things that I think are innovative, I'll keep you guys in mind, and I'll be looking forward to coming back.
You know what we ought to do, Judy, is ought to get one of those ultrasonic, the squeaky toys that he was just talking about.
Right.
And we ought to just play it in the background during the show. And no one would hear it.
They wouldn't even know we were doing it,
but their dogs would be going crazy.
Oh, that's funny. We'll have to get one of those.
Yeah, get right on that, will you?
Okay, I will.
Oh, is this mic on?
Animal Radio is brought to you by CagesByDesign.com. What do Extreme Makeover, Home Edition, and Queer Eye for the Straight Guy have in common? They both chose CagesByDesign.com. Get your free catalog. Call 1-800-941-2243. Or visit CagesByDesign.com.
What do Extreme Makeover Home Edition and Queer Eye for the Straight Guy have in common? They both chose CagesByDesign.com. You too can have one of these beautiful cages in your home. Our free color catalog covers everything from bird, reptile, and small animal cages to cat condos. Get your free catalog. Call 1-800-941-2243. That's 1-800-941-2243. Or visit CagesByDesign.com. Don't wait. Give your pet room to stretch with CagesByDesign.com.
Hi, Hal Abrams with Animal Radio, and I want to tell you about a very powerful novel. Animal Instinct is a page-turning book on crusading for the animals that you and I can relate to. You'll read about Eleanor Green as she quits her job and joins the animal rights movements. Eleanor believes that animals are her true calling, and she endures the daily batterings from her tyrant boss to gain some kindness for the animals. Not only will you be shocked and amazed at the unexpected outcome, you'll be moved by her plight along the way. Animal Instinct is available at bookstores everywhere and at Animal Instinct Novel.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness from all across the globe. This is Animal Radio Network.
Well, hi, Merritt.
Good morning.
Merritt Clifton, editor extraordinaire from Animal People. In your last issue, new laws in Vermont, Governor James Douglas, also in May, endorsed into a law a bill allowing judges to issue protective orders covering the pets of people who are trying to leave abusive relationships. Is this like a restraining order, Merritt?
Basically, yes. That's also just recently been passed in Maine and is catching on around the country because it's been recognized that one of the main reasons why women won't leave an abusive home is because the fear of the spouse taking a violent revenge on the pets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is, again, it's a useful extension of laws that have been started to be added to the books in the 80s to protect women trying to leave abusive relationships, then extended to their children, and extending them to their pets is the next logical extension.
Mm-hmm. I'm fond of that one, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it'll roll across the country.
Oh, in no time, it should. It should be worldwide.
In Rhode Island, Governor Dan, is it Carcieri? A brand new bill signed into law that would require people who keep cats to have them sterilized by 6 months of age.
Well, that one's not going to fly. In fact, any time legislation like that has been challenged in court, it's been basically overturned by the Ninth Amendment of the Constitution, which reserves to the people any right that they possessed at the time the Constitution was written, unless it is explicitly changed by constitutional amendment. In this particular case, the right to own and breed animals, those aimed at livestock, was unquestionably a public right. Now, what they're hoping to do in Rhode Island is get around that by having breeder permits and so forth. But the intent of the law in reaching the people who have a barn full of unsterilized cats, it kind of misses the point anyway. The people don't acknowledge ownership of those animals in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be even less likely to acknowledge ownership if they feel they're going to be penalized. And they're less likely to feed the cats if they feel that the act of feeding means they're going to be subjected to, besides the cost of sterilization, high fines. I just see that as completely misguided. It won't help. Now, on top of all that, if you look at the rate of licensing in the United States runs between 15 and 25%, depending on region.
Mm-hmm.
The rate of sterilization of owned cats in the Northeast is over 90%, West Coast over 90%, over most of the U.S. it's over 80%.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're looking at, you're going to have to increase licensing compliance 5, 6, 7-fold in order for it to even begin to cut into the percentage of people who haven't sterilized their animals. One reason why I'm very skeptical of that kind of legislation, it's always written into the legislation that it doesn't change any of the other statutes, penalties, this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, what you end up with is a name change that has no practical effect whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So why bother to do it?
Mm-hmm.
What's the value in it? The thing that's most exciting going on in legislation is that having hit the obstacle of not really being able to pass or enforce breed-specific legislation, communities are turning to anti-chaining ordinances.
Mm.
And those are demonstrably effective in reducing attacks. Roughly a third, people don't realize this, but roughly a third of all attacks that end in a death or a maiming occur while the dog is on a chain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because the tethered chain increases the dog's territoriality. And this is especially true of cases where little kids get in the path of the dog, then they trip over the chain. Remember, we're talking about big, dangerous dogs.
Uh-huh.
That's why the chain's in the first place. They can very rapidly do a lot of damage to these little bodies. So by prohibiting chaining, which requires people to keep the dog behind secure fencing instead of on a tether,
mm-hmm.
what you're doing is you're making conditions better for the dog and you're making conditions much safer for the people.
Yes.
There have been a couple of challenges to anti-chaining legislation from people who like to keep their dogs on chains, especially in the southern and Appalachian states. The momentum is all in favor of banning chaining because the evidence is just so overwhelming that it's a win-win situation for the people and the dogs.
Merritt, we thank you so much for joining us today. If people want to get the most awesome, unbiased, telling it like it is magazine, how can they do that? That would be Animal People. That's your magazine, by the way.
You can get a free sample copy by calling 360-579-2505 or just go to our website, www.animalpeoplenews.org. We'll be happy to send you a free sample.
Thank you very much, Merritt. Okay. Right now, something we've been trying to start for the last few weeks, just time prohibitive. We get a lot of letters here at Animal Radio. And we decided that we would respond to them, as many as we can. Many of them are asking for help.
Financial help?
Usually financial help or medical help in one way or another with somebody's sick animal. We got this one via email. And by the way, you can email us at yourvoice@animalradio.com. And the subject, you want to put Animal Radio Angel if you're responding to this. We get this email. Hi there. I'm hoping that you can help me get connected to any groups that you can. I found a kitten that had been hit by a car.
Ooh.
Yeah. I took it to the vet. Didn't have the heart to put it to sleep. Found out it had a broken femur. Now, Judy, I don't know much about bones.
I think that's a broken leg.
It's not a good thing, is it?
No.
Well, she goes on to say, I couldn't really afford the operation, but I also couldn't put the otherwise healthy kitten to sleep. I paid to have the x-rays and the tests, and I managed to get a couple of organizations to help, but I'm still left with a large vet bill. The cat has had the operation, and in 30 or 40 days, it should have the metal rod taken out. Apparently, had to have a metal rod inserted.
Ooh.
I believe we have Jeanette on the phone and her veterinarian. Hi, Jeanette. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Go ahead and tell us this story. You found this cat. It had been hit by a car. Is that correct?
Yeah. My nephew called me up from his work, and he said that he actually saw this cat. It had been hit by a car. And he didn't know what to do, so he called me up, and I raced down there. It's only about 5 minutes from where I live, mm-hmm. And so I found the little thing, and he wasn't moving very much. He was kind of lethargic, sort of.
Sure.
And he was actually, it looked like he was bleeding from the mouth.
What does he look like?
He's really cute. He is about 4 months old.
Okay.
And he's black and white, but mainly black, and he has white around his chin, and his little paws are white, so it looks as if they have, like, little mittens.
Okay. And so you found him. There was unfortunately, blood coming from his mouth, so there probably was not a great prognosis at that time.
Yeah. No, we were really, really worried about him. Okay. So I went ahead, and I wasn't quite sure what to do with him, and I went ahead, and we called Animal Control.
Mm-hmm.
And Animal Control came out there, and the lady looked at him, and she's not a vet, but she looked at him up and down, and she said that she thought that he was going to be okay,
mm-hmm.
And that he wasn't bleeding internally. It looked like maybe he had actually bitten his lip.
Oh, sure, okay.
But it wasn't quite as bad as, you know, we were kind of thinking. But she said that if she went ahead and took it that night, that they would have to put it to sleep because there's so many animals, and being that this one didn't look like it was in perfect health, they just have to put it to sleep. I couldn't let that, you know, that happen to him because he was just so, so cute. So mm-hmm. I went ahead and I took him home.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like an absolute trooper because, you know, there was something, it was obvious that there was something wrong with him.
Uh-huh.
But a little trooper, and he would go up and down the steps, and I had like a little cat bed for him by the sofa, and he would hop up on the sofa because he didn't want to be by himself on the floor. And he was just really just totally, totally cute little kitten and stuff.
When did you decide that something was probably wrong?
We waited a few days, and he just seemed to be limping more and more. And, I mean, but little trooper, you know, he wasn't meowing that much, but you could just see the way that he was walking was, you know, kind of strange and kind of odd there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I went ahead and decided to take him to a vet.
We did x-rays and found that actually Lucky had a broken leg. His femur was broken.
Linda Smith, you're at Riverside Animal Hospital in the L.A. Basin. You're listening on Coast or KBIG. You want to know about Riverside Animal Hospital. They've helped out with this whole thing here.
We actually had to pin the leg to repair it.
And what does that mean exactly? He has a rod that goes in there?
Yes, there's a steel rod that goes through the top of his femur,
uh-huh.
which is your bone that goes from your hip to your knee.
Mm, okay. Ooh. A broken femur. Now, do you have any other pets at home?
I have one little chinchilla.
Okay.
And he gets along really good with them, too.
So you're probably thinking, okay, I found this cat. It seems that there was nothing wrong, but now we find out there's a broken femur,
yeah.
And you're probably thinking, that's going to cost a little bit of money, huh?
Exactly, yeah.
Yesterday, when I wasn't here, they removed the pin. Everything healed around the pin, and so we went ahead and put him under anesthetic, x-rayed. Everything looked good, and removed the pin. So he's ready to go home. So he did real well, actually.
How long did he have the pin inserted?
About 3.5 months, approximately.
Wow.
I couldn't put him to sleep. I mean, by then, even though I'd only had him for a few days, he was just so cute. I felt like this bond to him, and I couldn't put him to sleep.
Well, so you went ahead and had the surgery, and you have a big vet bill, huh?
Yes. But I have a cute cat.
Cute cat, big vet bill.
Yes.
What kind of rehab will he have to go through? Anything?
Nothing right now. You know, initially we kept him here for quite a while in order to keep him very quiet. And when we sent him home, we also told her she's going to have to keep him quiet. Some people build a particular cage or just keep him in a room where he does not have access to jump, you know, and re-injure the leg or bend the pin.
Have you asked any other organizations to help you with the vet bill?
I did. I asked. I looked on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I kind of did some research that way, and so I found a group called Actors and Others.
What was it?
Actors and Others.
Actors and Others, okay.
Mm-hmm. And they went ahead and said that they would make a partial pledge. And there's another one called Animal Garden Society.
Okay.
And they went ahead and said that they would make a pledge as well. And
these are both organizations in the Los Angeles area?
Yes.
And but there's still a little bit left on the bill, huh?
Yes.
What was the total cost of all his care?
Well, you know, I'd say, you know, and our prices are absolutely, you know, we're really a fair hospital. The surgery for his leg was $450.
Mm-hmm.
Plus he had x-rays and he had leukemia AIDS tests. And he was also neutered while he was here.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you're probably looking at about... approximately 600 total, yeah, with everything. And there was no charge for the last several rechecks, nor taking the pin out.
Uh-huh.
So everything was inclusive. All the rechecks were free and everything. So the x-rays yesterday were free. The anesthetic was free.
Well, good. I'm glad you guys have done that. And we're going to close out the account. All of us here at Animal Radio would like to pay off what the balance is due for Lucky. I'll let Judy take care of that,
because
she has all the money, okay?
Oh, okay. Wow. That would be totally, totally great. Thank you.
Now, how's Lucky doing?
He is doing a lot better now.
We really appreciate it. We're always, always grateful for people that are in need and other organizations can help out.
Well, are you going to keep him?
Yes, I'm definitely going to keep him. I have a bond with him now.
Funny how these things happen, huh?
Yes, yes. See, the cat knew. He knew.
I think both Lucky and Jeanette are lucky.
Yes, they are.
He's a little slugger, and so now he is a lucky cat.
Send us a picture of you two, and we'd like to go ahead and post it at the website.
Okay, great.
There you go. Jeanette and Lucky, thank you so much for taking care of Lucky and being just a good Samaritan, a good pet lover all over.
Oh, well, thank you guys so much for helping me. We both really, really appreciate it.
If you are in need of help, or you'd like to be an Animal Radio Angel and help somebody out, go ahead and email us at yourvoice@animalradio.com. If you're listening on Coast or K-Big in Los Angeles, this guy is, you want to check him out in the LA Times. Barkley, A Dog's Journey, and it was written by Los Angeles Times columnist, you may know him, Al Martinez. Al, are you there?
I'm right here, Paul. Hi.
You're so quiet there. I didn't know.
Oh, I was just listening to that. I wasn't sure when to come on.
You have this dog, Barkley, and you find out that he was diagnosed with a terminal illness. What was that?
Right. He had leukemia.
Okay.
And the oncologist, it was very, very good, a very caring lady, diagnosed him with leukemia and told us he had only 9 months to live.
Oh, that and must have just gotcha right there.
Oh, it was just awful, because this dog was a wondrous dog, an English Springer Spaniel, and just so loving and bright and responsive and sensitive to our needs. Just anything one could imagine in a pet. And we were just devastated, and we wanted to do everything for him that we could in an effort to get him well and if not that, at least to keep them comfortable.
Sure.
How old was he when he came into your life?
He was he was just a puppy when he came into our lives. Like I think he was 4 months old. Uh-huh. And we had him literally for 9 years. He was about nine when he finally died. We had him get chemo and other chemicals to ease the effects of chemo and the vitamins and all kinds of things. It was a really expensive process, but we were glad to do it to keep him active and well.
Well, you did something wonderful. You decided to take a journey with him, thus the name.
Right.
You wanted to spend 24 hours a day with him, and you
exactly.
did for about 3,000 miles.
3,000-mile journey, a car journey, up through Northern California and Southern Oregon, all these little mountain towns and small villages and great forests and places where he could run. There was the snow. It was in the fall. There was snow on Mount Lassen, so he could experience that for the first time and flop through it. You know, just a great time for us and for him and for that moment in time. Whether or not it was his last journey, we didn't think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought of it as a journey of experience, a journey of discovery. And he just loved it. Most of the time, he was quite active, quite vigorous. And then as the illness really began to penetrate his system, his mm-hmm. energy flagged. And by the time we got home, he was pretty sick.
How long was the journey?
It was about a month, a little over a month.
A little over a month. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we just took our time, and we had no specific itinerary. He'd love to go bye-bye. Good bye-bye, dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was just a joy for him.
A big bye-bye.
To be with us. This book is as much about us and our connection with him as it is about him
uh-huh.
and the illness. And Paul, you're right. There's a kind of spirituality to it. I major in college in philosophy, and I work a lot of that in and time, and see this as kind of a metaphor for a life's journey,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I try to do.
What was the epiphany that you said, I want to spend 24 hours a day, I'm going to essentially put everything else I'm doing aside to spend time with Barkley?
That was kind of odd, you know, because I'm not a really an animal activist kind of person. I mean, I like dogs. We've always had dogs. We've had chickens and cats and a couple of goats once. And we've always treated them very, very, very well. But this dog, suddenly there was a connection that I felt that I'd never felt before. And I don't know that there was a moment, that flash of epiphany, but there was a feeling towards Barkley that was just different. And there was just these... I really can't explain it. I mean, mm-hmm. just it was there. And I suppose in that sense, it was a spiritual link. And we talked about it, my wife and I, who is also a great animal lover. And we decided we'd do this for him.
I'm glad you chronicled it. And I want 10 listeners to read it at 1-866-405-8405. And I will give you a copy of the book. You can get this just anywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, in any bookstore. And, of course, you can read the column.
Absolutely.
Any other animals at home, Mr. Martinez?
Yes, we have a wonderful cat named Ernie. And this is really kind of strange that he emulates many of the things that Barkley did.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's a cat, but he jumps up on my desk and he lays there and watches me write. He comes in the bathroom, jumps up on the sink, watches me shave.
Uh-huh.
And he's always kind of with me, and that's the way Barkley was.
Huh.
He followed me to the house. And the cat follows me to the house.
Do you find them to be muses for your writing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I actually used Barkley. When we did this journey, I wrote from the road.
Yes.
And I wrote six columns on Barkley.
Uh-huh.
And the emails were just, you know, by the hundreds of emails and letters and with a rapport. So many people in this country love animals so much. And I made fun in a column a few weeks ago of pot-bellied pigs.
Uh-huh.
And I was amazed that there's like a mafia of pot-belly pig lovers and bowlers.
Oh, you bet.
I'll tell you, and I have a new respect for pot-belly pigs.
Glad to have you on the air with us today. Al Martinez, L.A. Times columnist and author of Barkley, A Dog's Journey, a great read. Pick it up at a bookstore near you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's been a delight. Thank you very much.
Okay, we got to get out of here. That's it for this hour. Remember, there's lots more at animalradio.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you get an animal this week, please spay or neuter.
And if you get a cat, don't declaw.
And if you want a certain breed, please go to a breed rescue. Google them online. We'll see you next week for more Animal Radio right here on this fine station.
Bye-bye.
This is Animal Radio
Network.